children, but I love you more. I love you more. Come near me. I'm calling on you. I'm calling. Believe in me. I want you so badly. I hung on the cross for you. I gave everything up for you. I gave you a great exchange at that cross. I took your sins and your frustration and anger, and I gave you my righteousness by the blood, my blood. I have given you everything. So come, children. Come.
Amen. Today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms. But today we just want to honor every woman here, because every woman is a mother in some way to someone. And so we just have some flowers here, and we're just going to let the little guys, Tofi, come this way first, okay? Perfect. If the little guys could come, and if all the women could just stand up, because we want to give you a flower. And so once you get a flower, then you can sit down so the kids know. They're just going to come here, I'm going to give them a flower, and then they're going to go back. We want to bless everybody, okay? So if we could just have all the kids come forward first.
Thanks, Crystal. Hey, Jeff. How's that working? Is that better? There, now we're talking. Thanks, Crystal. So we've got some a couple of food items. A little bit of feedback. So a couple of food topics here. First off, we've got some hamper items here and food items. Stan's going to talk more about that. And there is also a barbecue at Stan and Crystal's place this afternoon. if you're able, bring some drinks or dessert kind of thing. But other than that, Sorry. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock at Stan and Crystal's, and yeah, he'll bring some chairs, bring some dessert if you can, bring some drinks if you can, bring your appetite. And does anybody, if people need a ride, we'll make that happen too, and I'll get 3:30 now. Oh, come here at 3:30 if you need a ride, and there'll be vehicles here I'll get you over there. But yeah, like hamburgers and all the other good stuff, that's all taken care of. So three things if you can. If you can bring some lawn chairs, you got it. Dessert, juice. Okay. We are here. We better be here. We need to be here to only and always glorify Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing here. So in all that we do, you know, if it's giving of hampers or of putting on a barbecue or of singing, worshiping, all that we do here needs to be pointed at and directed to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's Him that gets all the credit. He's the reason that we have life, that we have hope, that we have joy. He gets all the credit. And on that note, I'm going to read from Isaiah 53, and I'd encourage you to read along if you have a Bible, and if not, you should talk to somebody who's waving his hand up front right now, and he can get you a Bible. Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his land, in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jaron's going to share a bit about what has happened in his life and how God has impacted him. And again, I just want to emphasize over and over this, all of what we do here must be and always be about Jesus Christ. And may every spirit in this place that does not willfully, joyfully, gladly, and instantly bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, may every spirit be driven out that does not bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be in this place and in your soul and in your heart. May you receive the peace and the joy and the contentment that only comes from Jesus. So, Jaron, God bless you. Tell us what's been going on in your world.
Yeah, where do I start? You know, I was having a hard time writing this, and now this morning it kind of seems insignificant. Can I take a week to rewrite this? Or let's see. Let's start off when I was a kid. So he's a bit of a spiritual kid. I grew up in a good household, going to church every Sunday. I was baptized and confirmed in the United Church. I always liked going when I was younger. I loved this God person that I always heard about, but never really understood what it really meant. As I got older and learned more about the world and less about God, my light kind of fizzled and faded. I may have forgotten about him, but he never forgot about me. I can think of a few times when things looked not so good, where I thought I was in some big trouble. Now I left it up to the grace of God, and somehow things always seemed to sort themselves out. When I went on in life, and I walked further from the path, and I denied the calling that was always there, I felt more and more burdened by the world, finding it harder to deal with life, depression, anxiety, social situations, speaking in public. I had gained, all the worldly things, wife and kids, vehicle, a job in the trades, a house, and also a dependency on alcohol and drugs. Meanwhile, being exposed to various religions, all the stuff normal people are supposed to work towards, right? But something always felt wrong, something just missing from my life. No one ever really knew what it was. And then one by one, I got relieved of burden, as I like to say. Lost my license, my vehicle, my job, my family, my house, till I was left with nothing. And where do you go then? Where do you look? Feeling alone in a room full of people, looking for meaning in a meaningless world. I realized I was left with one thing. One thing, my relationship with God. Amen. As I journeyed back to the light, I got pulled back in, by another homeless man who was in the same strife I was. He invited me down to Hope Mission for prayer and Bible study, where I met Kelly and Alvin. I fought a bit at first, didn't really feel like going, but I did. And before long, I started to be excited to go. I couldn't get enough. As I said, I, started to meet some good fellas. I met Alvin, Stan, Jeff, Doug, Tim, this fellow over here. A lot of good people who've made a big impact in my life. And I got involved a little more, and here I am, newly baptized, giving it up for our Lord. And my hands have been emptied for him, so I've asked him to fill them up again with his work. And he's starting to do it. And on the baptism thing, I didn't think it was necessary, to be baptized again. I was done it as a baby. You know, that's good enough, right? No. As I learned more and saw others get baptized and even helped a fellow friend get baptized in the hot tub at the rec center, I started to see the necessity of it. But of course, I couldn't be like the rest of the people and do it in the church tub. I had to be different. And I thank all the fellows that made the trek down to the river a couple weeks ago, and it's, you know, only 1 degree outside. But what a blessing it was. The group of us slipping and sliding down the hill and falling in the mud. Sorry, guys. And, you know, I kind of felt bad about it, too, having to walk down there. But I think it was a bit of a blessing. When we got to the water, I wasn't even cold. Yeah, the feet were cold for a couple seconds, but that faded pretty quick. Especially after getting back out and hearing how inspirational it was to all those other guys. It was a great blessing for me. You know, I just thought it would be a kick to do. Yeah, let's go down to the river. But, you know, thanks so much, everybody, for being there. It was a great honor. And, you know, all I could think is it's a small sacrifice for me to make for the gift we've been given, for, you know, a father to give his son's life and for that son to give his life on the cross for all of us. I can't even express what that means to me. But it was a great gift. And I thank him for that. Amen.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
God, thank you for Jaron. Thank you, God, for putting your hand on him, God, and for being so faithful and true to your word that you didn't leave Jaron. You didn't forsake him. But God, you know him, you care for him, you love him, you know the numbers of hair on his head. God, you know Jaron, and I thank you, God, that you love him, and you will constantly care for him, not only now, but in the future, God. You love him, and I thank you, God, for the way you love all of us, and your unending love, your love that just does not give up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for saving Jaron. Thank you, God, for bringing him back. Thank you, God, for wrapping your arms around him and being so good to him. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus, I pray. Good job, buddy. Good job. Way to go. You're up, Stan.
We need to learn. You know, it's not something that maybe comes naturally. We got to love each other. You know, what does it look like to really love each other? Not just go to church. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about really loving each other, really caring for one another, actually looking at each other in the eyes, really being interested in what the needs are in each other's lives, and if we're able to meet those needs. Really showing empathy and compassion for people, not just a whole bunch of people that come to a building and do some stuff and then leave, but really loving each other. And we talked about this particular Sunday being Surplus Sunday. I think I used those terms, or that term, last week. Surplus Sunday, and the idea that we all have surplus of something. Everybody does. Every one of you has something in surplus. Maybe it's time. Maybe you have a surplus of time. Or maybe you got a surplus of patience. Or maybe you've got some extra empathy or sympathy with someone, and you can just stand by someone and just put your arm around them and say, hey, I know you're going through a hard thing. Maybe it's surplus of food or a surplus of money later on in the service. And I know this is crazy, but that's okay. I want to be a part of a crazy church, so I'm ready for this. I really am. We're going to be handing out food. We are going to be praying for people and giving vouchers for gas or for groceries or for other things. We want to do everything we can to meet the needs. And we're only doing that for one reason, and that's because the Bible says that we need to love each other. And so we're trying, and I'm not saying we're doing it right. I'm not saying any of this stuff is right. We're going to find out. I started last week by saying, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm just going to say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't have a clue. And some of you are going, yeah, well, that's nothing new. Yeah, we're used to that. Honestly, I don't know what God wants to do, but I just want to be obedient. I just want to be obedient, and it's okay if we don't do everything right. If we fail a few times, we back up and go, well, let's do that differently. We're trying to learn. Please be patient with me. Be patient with our leadership. We just want to learn. We want to learn how we can love each other. How can we get to know each other better? How can we meet the needs? You know, this has got to be a safe place, and it's also got to be a place where truth is proclaimed, and I believe that's true. I believe that this is a really special place, and that you are a special group of people, and that God is beginning to do something that I've never in my life seen before. I want to see more of that. The baptisms, the gifts, the love. What is it going to look like? What can we do to show that love for each other? And what I challenged you with last week is, so what's your surplus? You know, what can you do? How can you love the person next to you or someone else that you know here? You know, sometimes you know things about each other that no one else knows, and maybe it's just an encouragement. There's a surplus of encouragement. Or you know someone needs a ride to the doctor or needs a ride to Calgary or something, and you can offer that this week. And you say, well, that's my surplus. I don't know. Like I said to you last week, I don't know what your surplus is. I'm having a hard enough time figuring out what my surplus is, but this is a good indication today of some of the surplus. One of the hard things is receiving. So I want to, before I get into the word, and we're going to hear a bit about what God says about all of this stuff, you need to be willing to receive. And it's sometimes you just want to sit there and you go, no, this is for those people. You know, let those people fill their bag of groceries. That's pride. So we just speak against pride. You don't need to be afraid to come forward. There's lots of groceries, and if we have too much, we'll give it out again next week or the week after that, and we'll just keep doing this until God leads us in whatever direction he leads us. But I just want to say, don't be afraid to ask. The Bible says that you have not because you ask not. So we need to be willing to ask and vulnerable and just say, yeah, I need some food for my kids or for me, or I need some vouchers. Later on in the service, like we did a few weeks ago, there's some people that are going to be in our prayer room here, and we're going to be handing out not cash money unless there's no other choice, unless there's no other way to do that. And if we do hand out cash, likely we're going to want to go with you just because we want to be responsible about this. So if you have a mortgage payment to make, cool. We just want to go with you because we feel we need to do that. We can do more harm than good sometimes just giving out cash. But otherwise, maybe you're going to get $5 or might get $50. The people who are going to do that, who are going to dispense that, are praying about it. And we're just going to believe God, okay? It's going to believe that he's going to give them wisdom. But do not be afraid to ask, because that's how God builds his church. Some have surplus, some have need, but we're all one body. Am I making myself clear? Kind of following this? Good. All right. And then, I guess just one other thing. I know Don's already brought this up, but boy, you're sure welcome to come to our place this afternoon. Some of you have never been there before. Some of you we don't know very well. I really want to get to know you. 4 o'clock at our house, we're going to have a barbecue. If you don't come, there's going to be like 80 hamburgers that I'm going to have to eat. And I like hamburgers a lot, but I don't like them that much. So, yes, Jesse. Well, there you go. That would solve it. So 8 patties. Yeah, Jesse's always got an answer for everything, right? 8 patties. Just come. If you don't have a place, you don't know how to get there, meet here at 3:30 today. And who's got a vehicle that can be here at 3:30? We've got two. We need a few more. If there are a few others that could come. Okay. Well, I'll find a few more. But just come here. And if you don't know how to get to our place, come here too at 3:30. And you got car seats too? Cool. It'll work out, okay? So I'm going to open the Bible today to Acts chapter 2 and 3. So if you have your Bibles, open them. And just if you don't mind, I'd like to pray before that. And there's other things that we need to pray for. We believe that God hears us. You realize that? I mean, we believe that when we pray, God's actually going, okay, I'm hearing, I'm listening. What do you need? What can I do for you? I'm your God. I made you. I created you. I love you. So prayer is really vital, and it really makes a difference. It's not just some form. It's not just some religious thing that we do. We do this because we know that it's true. So with that in mind, and with a heart that believes that, let's pray. So God, thank you for your presence here. Well, I just feel your presence. I know that you are here and that you love us and that you are pleased with us, that we're your body, and that you just want us to learn how we can love each other better, how we can include and just meet the needs and encourage and embrace each other. Thank you, God. Thank you for how we feel you. I just feel you right now. I feel your good pleasure. I feel that you just are glad that we have praised you and we have worshiped you. We just pray that you would bind us together in the Holy Spirit and in the love that flows from your Spirit. We pray today, God, for many people who are suffering and for all the events that have happened in this last week. And we pray especially for our friends in Fort McMurray and people who have lost their homes, for the devastation there, God. Lord, we remember them. We think of Ron and Erica who lost their house. And Erica's the daughter of Rob and Jeanette Soley. We just remember them, God. And we pray for Kara's mom and dad and her brother who lost their homes as well. God, we just pray for them. And we ask, Lord, that you would comfort them. We pray, Lord, that your big arms would surround them, that they would feel your love, that they, Lord, would hear and with this great overflow of love from the whole province, that they would know, God, that even in that, you show yourself. That love really flows from you. That generosity really comes from your generous heart, God. We pray for them, God. We pray that you would restore, that this fire would be put out quickly. We pray that the winds would die down and the rains would come. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And even, Lord, even our premier said that the only answer to this was really you. She didn't quite say it in those words, but she said that the weather needed to change and you're the only one who can do that. So we ask you, God, to be gracious and be merciful. Pray for Sonny today that you'll encourage him and heal him. Thank you that Ricky is here. And we ask, God, that you'll continue to give her healing and strength, Lord. We pray for other elderly people. Be with them, Lord, for Jerry and Gladys. And Lord, we pray for Elsie and Carl. We think of people, Lord, in those later years that they would continue to just draw near to you. You say that when we draw near to you, you always draw near to us, and you're never far away. Thank you for that, God. And Lord, I just also want to pray today for just everyone who's here. We come with our own needs. We come into this place with our own brokenness, even our own fear. Some of us are really afraid of the thing that we've been delivered from, because we know that it's still chasing us. So, Lord, we cry out to you. And we don't need to be afraid, because even though the drugs or the poverty or the sickness still chases us, you are the mighty conqueror. You are our king. And when we look to you, we don't need to have any fears in our lives. Amen. So we just speak that today, God. I pray that today we would experience you. We would see your face, and we would know that you're in control. Even in the fire, and even in the flood, and even when our lives are a mess, and even when there's lots of things that we regret that we've done, you are still in control. Thank you, God. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Thank you for that. Lord, now that we open your word, we would just ask you to speak. We want to hear the voice of Jesus. We pray that it'll just be clear. God, we don't know how this all develops. We don't know how this all unfolds in the life of our church. But what is true today is that we're willing to submit to you and ask you, God, to show us. So you are a God who reveals himself. You make yourself known. So make yourself known in this too, so that we can be the church you want us to be. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So let's read just where we were last week in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which gives us really the model or the example of how the early church lived and how they loved each other. And then we're going to read in chapter 3 the story of Peter and John and the crippled beggar. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this: that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And that's as far as we're going to read. You say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that a great passage? I'm going to get a drink here. I don't know that it's ever really struck me before, and I've done this for a lot of years. It's never really struck me before until the last month when I've been thinking about this and trying to follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit, of what was really happening in the early church when they shared their things, you know, what they had in common, and when they loved each other with this kind of an unusual, remarkable kind of love. And I don't know that I ever really noticed before, or it never really hit me before, the kind of things that happened when they really started to love each other and how pivotal it is all about love. That because they loved each other, they had the favor of the whole world. I mentioned that last week, but to me, that just, I shake my head when I read that again, that because they loved each other with this genuine, authentic love, everyone out there was going, wow, that's something, you know, special. That's a church. They really care for each other. And the world was attracted to it. They're going, we got to check this out, you know. This new group called Christianity, they're caring for the poor. They're selling their possessions. They're helping each other. There was something really attractive about that. And it's not surprising then that there were 3,000 people who were added to their number. In fact, what does he say? He says that the Lord was providing for them many people, and that the believers were being added to their number daily. Daily, more people were coming because there's something compelling about love. And I'm really coming to believe that this is the key. This is the real key. It's love. It's nothing else. It's love. And you're probably saying, well, that's nothing new. And you're right. So if you're expecting something new today, he's going to say something novel and I've never heard before, you're in the wrong place. Just going to tell you, you know, this is sort of an old gospel story, but we forget about it. We don't really live it. It's about love. It's about how do I really love you and how do you love me? How do we love people on the streets? How do we love them as we give them a meal? How do we love them as we try to provide housing? How do we love each other in this place? And here's the other part of it, is that as they did this, as they actually loved each other, as they really looked each other in the eye and met each other's needs and they sold their possessions and they cared for one another, amazing, miraculous things started to happen. That it says there were many, many, I like that word, there were many signs and wonders. People were healed and lives were changed and chains were broken. Because Christ was praised. Amen? Good. I'm glad you're at least a little bit excited about that because that gets me going. That gets me going. I get excited about that. I want to see those signs and wonders. I want to see those demonstrations of faith. I want to see the Spirit moving and touching lives and reminding us that there's hope. Maybe there's someone here today that they're just going to stop and get into this, but maybe you need hope today. Maybe you're here today, you're going, I don't know if there's any hope for me. I don't know if there's any hope for my condition or for my situation. Well, just stop right now. I'm just going to tell you the answer. Yes. Okay. Yes, there's hope. Okay. There is great hope for you. And maybe you came today just to hear that. You don't need to go yet, but, you know, there's hope. There is great hope for you. If there's one thing I know about Jesus is that because of Jesus, there's hope for whatever situation you have, whatever struggle, whatever addiction, whatever you're hurting in your life, whatever's broken, he can fix it. Amen? Okay. And we can't. Like, I'm not here to fix your problems. I can't. I'm not here to fix you. I'm not here to save you. And even all of this, I've got to make this clear, even if you walk away with a bag of garbage, with a garbage bag of food is what I meant to say. You know, we're not walking away with a bag of garbage. But the point is, it's not going to solve all the problems. It's not. Even if you get a voucher for food or for gas, it's probably not going to last you for the rest of your life. It's just an expression of love and a reminder that there's a Jesus who loves you and there's a Father. Get this. There's a Father. He created you. You know, he knows you. Even before, the Bible says, even while you were in your mother's womb, he shaped you. He breathed life into you. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think you're something else. That's what God says. You're my daughter. You're my son, and I love you. You have this Father, and there's hope. There's hope because of him. Amen? All right. So, I'm working on a premise here that if we love with this kind of love, if we can just learn what this looks like and what it is and how we express it, we are going to see those kinds of signs and wonders that they saw in the early church that are genuine, that are authentic, and we're going to have the favor of people out there. They're going to say, that Potter's Hands Church, they're caring for people, and they're loving people, and they're not judging people. And I believe, you hearing me? I believe that God is going to add to our number daily those who are being saved. Amen? And so, briefly, we get into the story of Peter and John as they're traveling along and they're going to go for prayer, and there's a beggar. I read the story, so you know how it goes. And they come to this beggar, and the beggar says, hey, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And he's sitting there because his friends or his family have brought him there like they did with beggars in those days, because they didn't have social services. They didn't have, you know, Aish or anything like that. He sat there. The only way the poor like that survived was by people giving them some money. And he said, can you give me some money? And Peter and John said, we have no money, but what I have, I will give you in the name of Jesus. And he reaches out and he picks him up. He's in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And what really happens here, and you got to get this, is that Peter and John give that beggar exactly what he needs. Not what he's asking for, but what he needs. And that's what God wants to do for you and for me too. He wants to give you exactly what you need. You might think you know what you need, but you might be wrong about it. Sometimes, you know, we think we know exactly. Just give me lots of money, God. Give me lots of this. Give me lots of that. God goes, you know what? It's not what you really need. I want to actually heal you from the thing that's draining your money resources. I want to heal the relationship you're in. I want to bring healing where you thought there was no healing before. I want to bring you hope where you thought there was only despair. I want to reach out, and I want to grab you by the hand, and I want to lift you up.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you might not get what you're asking for, but you will get what you're supposed to receive. You believe that? All right. And, oh, come on, guys. Amen? All right. So, really just one thing I want to say today about the story of Peter and John as they pick up the beggar is that I want you to recognize, we need us all to recognize that there is just great love in Peter and John. There's great love. And we might miss it. We might miss it. I want to just point out four things that happen here. First of all, I don't know if you got it on the overhead here. The first thing that happens is we're told that Peter and John, as they're walking along their way, they look at the beggar. And it says here, Peter looked straight at him. Just stop there. Peter looked straight at the beggar. And why is that important? It's important because we don't do that. If someone's begging, someone's panhandling, you walk, you know, especially if you've been in any other countries where there's lots of that happening, most people just walk right by it. You know, and someone's going, can I have some money? Can you help me out here? You got a toonie? You know, and a lot of people, most people, we don't want to, another time, right? But we don't want to look, I don't want to look at you. Peter looked at him. He looked right at him. He looked at him. He looked right in the eyes. Right in his eyes, he looked at him. And he showed him respect. He treated him like a human being. He treated him with compassion. You get that? There's love in this. We so often, when there's a need that we don't want to meet or we don't want to talk to that dirty, smelly, whatever, another time maybe, but not today. Besides, I'm busy, right? That's love. You seeing it? There's love there. There's love there. The second thing is it follows right after that, what Peter says. And so he said, look at us. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. I want to make eye contact with you. That's what Peter's really doing. I want to make eye contact with you. Look at us. He's showing him dignity, right? He's treating him with dignity. Look at me, Peter says. I've got something for you. That's unusual. In those days, a beggar wasn't allowed, from the social mores and from the laws and the rules, they weren't allowed to look at someone in the eyes. They kept their heads down. They were ashamed. They lived a life of shame and disgrace. And so normally, a beggar would just sit somewhere off to the side. And by the way, Jesus dealt with this all through his ministry. But they would sit, and and they would keep their head down, and they would just hold out a can or their hands, and they would just yell out, you know, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Can you help me out here? Can anyone help me here? Anyone want to give me a little bit here so I have some food for tonight? But they wouldn't look up. They wouldn't make eye contact. And so what Peter does is he breaks the rules, really, and he says, I want you to look at me. I got something that you got to see, man. I've got a Jesus that I want you to know. I want to introduce him to you. I want you to look at me. You are not the scum of the earth to me. You are not dirty and smelly. You are not homeless. You are not just a beggar who is crippled. I want you to look at me. Look me in the eyes because I have something for you. That's love. You get it? It's just, it's saturated. It's dripping in love. The third thing that he does, which shows love, is, I hope you don't mind, he came up to him, and it says he grabbed him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and he healed him, right? And the man whose feet wouldn't work since he was a child, since he was a little baby, his feet suddenly grew strong. Can you imagine this? Suddenly, he could walk. Suddenly, he grew muscles and tendons onto his legs and his ankles, and he stood up, and he was healed. And he never expected it, thanks, by the way. He never expected that. He expected he's going to maybe give him just a penny, you know. Instead of getting a penny, Jesus gave him his right hand. And why does it say, maybe I ask too many questions when I read the Bible, but I want to know, why does it say that he gave him his right hand? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was memorable. Because everyone remembered it. Because no one did this sort of thing. You don't offer your right hand to a dirty, stinking beggar. And believe me, they smelled. They were poor. They didn't take baths. And part of it was, honestly, part of it was this they would get more money. The worse they looked, the more money they would get. So this was not some cleaned up guy just sitting on the side of the road. And Peter offered him his right hand. Luke, who writes this down in Acts, remembered it. He said, yeah, when I'm writing this story, I remember that Peter offered his right hand. And he lifted him up. I've already done this 3 times, so you don't need to come up. he lifted him up. He touched him. Do you get this? He was willing to touch this beggar. He was willing to associate with him. No doubt the rest of the crowd was looking and going, what is he doing? Like, if you want to throw him a penny, throw him a penny. But don't be touching him. This is a beggar. He's untouchable. This is a homeless person. This is someone who's the very, very bottom of the scale in our society. And he's touching him. He's reaching out. He's picking him up. And maybe he doesn't say it here, but all the rest of people are going, and they remembered. Remember that time that Peter healed the beggar and he reached with his right hand and he picked him up out of the dust and he healed him because he loved him. You hear that? You believe it? Because that's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is that we touch somebody. Maybe you don't like that. Maybe you don't like the idea of touching somebody. Maybe you don't like the idea of associating with someone who's dusty and smelly and sweaty and there's snot on their nose. Well, that's what it is. That's what love is. You can laugh at me, but you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen snot on their nose is the least of the things that I've seen. If you run into someone like that and that's all you get is just some snot on their nose, great. They're not lying in their own vomit, you know? How many of us have been with a friend lying in their own vomit? Yeah, okay, you don't all have to put your hands up. But, right? But that's love. I'm just saying, this is what the Bible says. This is what love is. That Peter was willing to touch this individual that no one else would touch. And if you want to know a definition of what love is, that's what love is. And here goes the fourth thing, because it goes even beyond this. And this really just blows me away. But then it says that they were willing to have him touch them. It says here, just read this. Let me read this. So taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. And he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. They allowed this beggar to go with them into the temple courts And you got to picture this. I mean, this guy, the Bible says this. I'm not making this up. He was leaping and jumping and praising God. Anyone want to do this to show us what that looks like? There we go. Robin, come up here. There we go. No, you can't do that back there. Come on. Come up here. If you're going to do that back there, then you're going to do it. Well, maybe we will. Let's start with this. Woo! Yeah! Okay. Woo! Praise the Lord! All right. Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Look at this. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. So, but maybe you see it though, okay? And you see, you know what? That's uncomfortable for me. I'll be honest with you. I was hoping that Robin would just come up and do a little dance up here, and next thing you know, she's inviting all of us to do this. I'll be honest with you, I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't feel like dancing and leaping and praising the Lord in front of all of you. I am a really poor dancer. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. I don't have the feet for it. But just get this today, okay? Understand this, that they, Peter and John, didn't care. They didn't care. They let him dance. They danced with him. They praised with him. They leapt with him. And here's the thing to remember. Love triumphs over dignity. They didn't care about being dignified. They loved him. They loved him. They really loved him. You know, they didn't do this. As they're walking along, they didn't go, "Hey, buddy, calm down. Settle down with the dancing. Pick one. You can leap, you can jump, or you can praise God, but you can't do all three." They didn't do that. You know, just leap, okay? No, they didn't do that. They let him leap and jump and praise God. And why wouldn't he? He was crippled all his life, right? Did you read that with me the same way? He's crippled all of his life, and he's dancing, and he's praising the Lord, and they didn't shut him up. They didn't say, "Hey, guess what? We're kind of big-time evangelists around here, you know. There are people who kind of like what we're doing, so, you know, this reflects poorly on us when you jump and leap and praise the Lord. So hold it down a bit. Wait a minute." No, they didn't do that. They let him be. As a matter of fact, it says this, that while, verse 10, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. Yeah. So not only did they allow him to go nuts, go nuts in praising and leaping and worshiping God, they allowed him to hang on. Crystal, can you stand up? Because you're the only one I can do this with. You know what? They allowed him to do this. He hung on, right? He hung on tight. He hung on. He hung on. He hung on for dear life, right? Okay, later. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was stinky. Remember that? He smelled. There were problems, and they didn't care because love triumphs over dignity. It didn't matter. They didn't need to be dignified. And here's the word of God today. That's what love is. That's what love is. It's how we really love each other. It's how we love the dying. It's how we visit someone in the hospital. It's how we work with our friends who have addictions. It's we love them even though they're messy, even though their lives are broken. We love them. We don't just love the beautiful smelling and the beautiful looking people. We really need to love with that kind of love. Jesus, by the way, it is frequently said that Jesus looked upon someone and he loved them and he healed them and he walked alongside of them and he taught them, because that's what Jesus was like. And until we learn that, until we break down those walls and all that us and them mentality that, well, that's you. You're just a beggar and I can walk by you. Until we break that down, we will not really ever know what love is. So there, I'm going to end on this. There are two big questions that I have in my life. There's other little ones, but here's two big ones. things that I wonder about the church, things that I wonder about why I'm not seeing more of that. The one has to do with faith. I wonder about faith. I wonder why there aren't more miracles. I wonder why more beggars aren't being lifted up by someone's right hand. I'm wondering about faith. The second thing I wonder about is I wonder about hope, especially down in the kitchen when I talk to people who are on the streets and they're struggling in their addiction and they just have no hope. And you know who I'm talking about. You guys have some friends like that. I struggle with people who don't have hope, and you talk to them about God or about hope or about Jesus, and they don't, you know, it's like they don't get it at all. I wonder a lot about those two questions, the question about faith and the question about hope. But what God is saying to me is that it really all has to do with the question about love. That we will see those demonstrations of faith if we really love. And we will see people receiving hope, real, real, real hope, if we love them with the love of Jesus. These three remain. These three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? And I don't know if you've got 1 Corinthians 13. Do you have those on the screen? So here's the deal. What we do today now is it's a possibility for us to love each other. It's an opportunity for us to just say, hey, here's a little bit of food. Here's maybe a hug. It's not only about this table or what goes on in this room. I'm going to encourage you to sit by somebody or to pray with somebody or to just have a good word for somebody or to invite someone out later on in the day or whatever. Here's the question. How can you love? How can we really love with this kind of love? What does that really mean? It says in the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 16, you can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but you know what? If you don't have love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, I know knowledge. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I have nothing. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. God, we feel a real privilege to be here today and to be able to see what you're doing and that you include us, that we're part of it. And Father, I believe that your Holy Spirit leads each one of us, that no one needs to tell us anything but you. You tell us and you lead us. So right now, I would pray in the name of Jesus that you'll make it clear how we can do more or what we can do even, just how to love someone. Maybe someone here, maybe someone who's not here. We pray, God, that your love would just flow from our hearts, the love that you pour into us, that you'll take away that poison that we've kind of inherited by the world where we think that this is an us and them world and that we don't need to love them, that those are just those people, and that instead Jesus will be so much more like you, that we would look at people and love them and that we'll know what that means and that our hearts would be just pure before you. Make us that kind of church, God. Make us that kind of church. We need you, God, because we get so caught up in our own world and in our own selves and in the stuff about me. Just, Lord, I pray that that will fall off today. Thank you, God. And as we as we receive today and as we give today, as we take some food home, as we pray over each other, as we receive some vouchers for gas or groceries, however this works, Lord, as we walk across the room to encourage someone or maybe ask for forgiveness, because that's really love too. Lord, I pray that you will make it clear. You show us. That you'll be glorified today in this place. And I ask this, we ask this, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, just one question before we start distributing some stuff. And again, I have no idea how this is going to work. But is there anyone here who wants to be baptized today? Just put your hand up or stand up. Is it okay with your worker? Is it okay if we baptize these two? I don't want to do anything that we are not allowed to do. These guys, you guys want to get baptized? Okay, you know what? Let's just hang on. I'll talk to you in a second, okay? We'll talk about this. That's okay. If it's not this week, it'll be next week. That's all right. We can do it next week too, yes. That's right, because I think there's still going to be water in the tank. So, what we're going to do is, if you are coming for some food today, if you can use a bag of food, there's bags here, and I'm going to ask Crystal and Joyce and Anita to come up and stand on the other side of the table, and you can just kind of help. So, why don't you come up now, and then if you need some food vouchers, I'm going to ask Darcy and Kirsten and Marg and Tim. Would you guys go in the back room there? And some people are going to come for prayer there as well. We may need to pull this away a little bit. Yeah. All right, so you can stand behind it. So if you need some food today, come now, okay? Just come, let's fill some baskets up. And maybe our worship team could just sing some songs. And I encourage you not to leave. I promise this isn't going to take too long. Around 12 o'clock, I'll bless you. I'll give you the blessing from Scriptures. But let's also find time. If there's someone you need to talk to here, or someone you want to encourage here, someone that you want to just pray with here, find someone to pray with. Find someone to minister to. I saw that. Yeah. No. That's good. They'll take care of it, Jay. They will. Thank you so much for being generous. Probably not. Not right at the moment. What is it? Yeah, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. But
I have a surplus of our ability.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody needs a car fixed. I'll turn my phone.
Okay. Somehow I'll get that out of there. I'll get it.
Yes, dear.
Okay. I'll get that out of
there. The mountains, our God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Offer us salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Mountains, our God is mighty to save.
All right. Let's pray for that. We've got to pray for Jay. He needs to find a place to live. Pray to open the door, God. Mackenzie Road. We live from the highway east. Make sure you go east. So go by Leon's Furniture, east, 1 kilometer. The second house on the north. Come for food. There's lots of food left on the table. All that you've done for me.
back into old. Who makes me orphan, a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of all of peace. Who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
You say amen?
Amen.
All right, can you stand? I'm just going to ask you to stand for a parting blessing today. And we're just going to pray, too, for the people. I want to pray over the food. I want to pray over the gifts that are given. So just join me. Let's stand. If there's someone nearby, hold on to their hand. Just grab someone's hand. We stand together as one here. I just want to say, too, that do not leave. I know some of you are afraid to come to the table or you're afraid to ask for help. You need help. So that's what we're here for. So don't leave without getting what's here for you, okay? So God, today we thank you for your grace, and we pray for a double portion of what's being given out, God. We pray for a double portion, Lord, that you will extend the gifts that are given, that the food will last longer, that the vouchers will last longer, and that we receive this, even though sometimes our pride wants to keep us away from asking for help. Lord, we just break down that pride, and we're not afraid to stand up before you today and say, Lord, I need you, and I need you to provide for me and for my family, perhaps. We just pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, and we just want to just keep saying that, Lord, and that you would provide a double portion today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us how to love each other. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord give you his peace.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
Yeah, there you are.
I don't know. I've never played it before either, so he keeps throwing songs at me, and I don't know.
It's good for you.
I know. It stretches, yeah.
D minor. No, that's okay. You can do
yeah.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy.
Am I off key?
Everyone needs compassion.
That's where it is, yeah. Go ahead, you start.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing.
Let mercy fall on me.
Everyone needs forgiveness. The kindness of a Savior,
the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light on, let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen. Shine a light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.